It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you so much to everybody tuned in all over North America. I hope you're safe. I hope you're well. I'll be hanging out with you for the next 3 hours. This show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Thank you so much to our producer in New York City, Ryan Botcher. Thank you to you for listening, because if you ain't here, there is no show. There ain't nothing to listen to, okay? You can always tune in on the free Audacy app. Put it on your phone, A-U-D-A-C-Y. It costs you nothing. Free 99. And thank you to everybody tuned in on their local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. If you got SiriusXM, it's channel 375. If you got a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. I'll be hanging out with you. We're going to be talking about the NBA draft. It gets started in about an hour from now. In an hour from now, I'm going to share with you a new top six list. We're going to take a look at some of the biggest NBA draft busts of all time. And then we have more to get into. In a few minutes, I'm going to talk to you about an NFL owner who, he's been sad over the past 2 years. Wah, wah, wah. Sad, sad, sad. We're going to hear from an NBA player who's just questioning his championships. A few of them. It's Draymond Green. In 20 minutes from now, we're going to have a chat with Tomer Azarli from Clutch Points to talk about what we can expect in tonight's NBA draft. So much to get into. If you want to be a part of the show, you can. Here's the number, 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. You can find me online. I exist everywhere at JR Sport Brief. There's so much to do. What a busy day. As I sit here on ESPN in the studio, I'm watching ESPN. They're showing the draft prospects and everybody's so happy. And in a few years, a couple of these guys will be complete jerks. Guys who want to be traded. Cooper Flagg, thank you so much for wearing a traditional suit. Oh, okay, all right. Trey Johnson from Texas, a traditional suit. I like this. Yeah, no, VJ Edgecombe, a nice suit. Nobody has showed up in a pink floral button down. Ace Bailey has, I don't know what these things are. Rhinestones, his suit is bedazzled still. Okay, Dylan Harper, yeah, black and red, nice. Every year somebody tries to buck a trend, like Trey Young, who showed up in that shorts. He had on a suit with shorts. I mean, look, to each his own. You want to do your thing, then God bless you. Me, I'm more just this throwback. Give me traditional. Hey, Botcher, do you like the wild suits, or you more just keep it straight, keep it neat?
I don't. Depends what type of crazy suit you're going at. Like the suits that I'm seeing here, they don't seem outrageous. They seem like modern era.
Yes, they styles. Are. They are. That's what I'm asking you. Are you a Trey Young wear some shorts with
no,
a suit?
Definitely not. I don't like the loafer, like the sockless loafers. I don't like. I don't like any of those. Even the rhinestones, that's pushing it.
Okay. Yeah, I think, not something that I would wear, but I can get it. You want to show up to the NBA draft, you want to throw some rhinestones on your suit, then God bless you. You know Liberace, right?
No.
Okay. You can Google him. I mean, I can't. You Google Liberace, and then you'll know what a wild suit is, okay? You're not a fan of Walt Clyde Frazier suits, then, I presume.
No, I do. I actually do like Walt Clyde Frazier's, because it's not like shorts. It's just crazy designs.
He's wearing a cow. He's wearing somebody's couch. He's wearing grandma's couch to the Knicks game. Come on.
Yeah, I don't mind that. That's a little much, but I'm okay with it. There's certain, like the suede. I'm okay with that. Okay. Any colors, I'm okay with.
Yeah, well, it's the texture in a suit is good. It depends on where you're at, what you're going, and what the occasion is.
Mm-hmm. And I'm okay with the NBA draft being that way. Just no shorts and no socks. Those are the two big red flags.
It's 100 degrees outside.
Where's some somebody,
socks? Why? I mean, there's a lot of parts of the world where you can go ahead and have that look. It depends on the suit that you're wearing.
Yeah, I just don't think it's a good look, to say the least.
Okay, all right. Style maven Ryan Botcher. Okay.
Just wear socks. That's it.
Okay, I'll say it again. Style maven Ryan Botcher. Thank you. All right, moving on. This man doesn't have to worry about style. He can do what he want. Well, he did what he wanted. He got in trouble one time at the massage parlor. No, it's not Deshaun Watson. This man doesn't work for an NFL franchise. He actually owns an NFL franchise. This man owns one of the most successful NFL franchises, flat and period. His name is Robert Kraft of the New England Patriots. Yeah, the man who has 6 Super Bowl championships. The man who's owned the team for 31 years. The guy can thank Tom Brady and Bill Belichick for all of his success. Yeah, that guy? The past 2 seasons, well, let's just be real, since Tom Brady, he has not been happy. Tom Brady said, I'm the hell up on out of here in 2021. And this team, well, this team was bad, okay, since Tom Brady left. The past 2 years, they've been bad. A 4-13 record in 2023. Final season of Mr. Bill Belichick. Last season, bringing in Gerard Mayo, they went 4-13 again. They do have some optimism in taking a look at what you have now in Drake May. That's a reason to be happy. That's a reason to be thrilled. They just brought in Mike Vrabel. That's why they fired Gerard Mayo. Mike Vrabel, a seasoned head coach here, didn't take no crap out in Tennessee. I think he's going to be a great head coach, a great addition to the Patriots. He's probably going to coach the Pats for as long as he wants to. And then when you think about bringing in Mike Vrabel, it doesn't just stop there. Stephon Diggs is now on the offense. They've improved the defense. This is going to be a better team. You got May moving into his second year. I just told you about Stephon Diggs coming on. You think about Milton Williams. They added him from the Philadelphia Eagles. They're going to be better. And so maybe that's why Robert Kraft feels comfortable with finally saying the past 2 years have pained him. I want you to listen to this. From over the weekend, Robert Kraft was sitting down with Adam Schefter at Fanatics Fest. Well, the clip, Adam Schefter posted it today. And oh, get ready. Be prepared to feel sorry for Robert Kraft because he has felt like the past 2 years have been the worst since he's even owned the Patriots. Oh, how sad.
Any Patriot fans that are out there, I can tell you I'm very excited about this upcoming season. The last 2 years were the worst years of my 31 years of ownership. We have to change that. We have a new coach in Mike Vrabel who is really connected with the players, who's doing great work. We have a young quarterback, a lot of great veterans, free agent veterans who came in, a great draft class. We're going to have fun this year, I promise.
And you said it was the worst 2 years of your 31 years of ownership?
31 years of ownership. I'm very proud. You know, we never won a playoff. There was only one home playoff game in 34 years. I sat in the stands, 1978. Earl Campbell ran for over 100 yards, and we lost. One home playoff game. We've owned the team 31 years. We've had 27 home playoff games, and we're privileged to win 23. I want that record to keep going.
Man. I don't know. Maybe it's because he's 84 years old. But, man, nobody cares. Nobody feels sorry for you. I mean, they're team owners. And forget team owners. Who cares about y'all? Y'all got billions of dollars. You can sell the team and walk away with billions. Nobody cares about you. But we got fan bases out here who have really suffered and been in pain. And he's talking about the past 2 years have been the worst 2 years of his ownership tenure. Well, damn it, you had the best stretch of any team in NFL history. Nobody sits around at the top for almost 20 years, okay? And yeah, the Patriots had a stretch where they did not win. But as an overall, to have a 20-year window where you're competing for titles and have won titles is unheard of. Okay, yeah, sure, the NFL just celebrated 100 years. For a fifth of it, the New England Patriots had their own window. What are we talking about here? Robert Kraft, I mean, you're not the Minnesota Vikings. If we want to talk about pain and what feels bad and what hurts, let's talk about the Vikings. You want to talk about pain and what hurts? I know that they're currently in an open window right now. I'm waiting to see them to bust through the damn window. The Buffalo Bills. And talk to me about them. Man, the team that you've been beating up on for the past forever. The New York Jets. Talk to me about those guys. What title do they know besides 68, 69? Joe Namath was running around in pantyhose. And now I don't know what he does now. I hope he's not in pantyhose today. And even if he is, 2025, do your thing, okay? Like, there's more people who know pain. It ain't Robert Kraft, okay? And last time he had a pain, he went to the massage place. So maybe they fixed it. Well, they destroyed the evidence, I think. Yeah, something like that. Speaking of championships, Robert Kraft isn't the only person evaluating the past several years of his life. Draymond Green, a much younger man, a four-time NBA champ with the Golden State Warriors. Draymond Green is also thinking about his career and where it's been and where it was not. A matter of fact, Draymond was sitting down with Ryan Clark and the guys at the Pivot, and Draymond had a response about LeBron James and ring culture and, hey, your legacy defined by a ring. And Draymond Green was very honest. We know one of the reasons that Kevin Durant left the Golden State Warriors is because of Draymond Green's big old mouth. We don't need you to win. Well, apparently Draymond is singing a little bit different of a tune in 2025.
It's worked against Kevin Durant in the opposite way. It's so hard to win a ring. Our teams made it look so easy that people say, Kevin Durant just went over there and walked to a ring. Man, without Kevin Durant, I don't know if we was going to win another championship. We didn't walk. He didn't come and walk to a ring. We just got that good and made it look that easy. And so then this dude got the two rings and they still use it against him. That's the problem with ring culture.
Yeah. Kevin Durant could have sat around on a team, the Oklahoma City Thunder, and he could have been a loser, never picking up a championship. He goes to the Golden State Warriors, the team that eliminated him from the postseason, and he's a front runner. Now he has two championship and championship finals MVPs. He has all of this stuff, and sometimes you can't win for losing. It's true. It's accurate. I think the way Kevin Durant did it by going to the absolute annihilator of a team didn't help his cause, but I get Draymond's point. Not everybody is going to win a title. Not everybody's going to win a championship. Not everybody is going to end up in an ideal position to succeed. And we talked about this last hour. Ace Bailey out of Rutgers, the man who told the Philadelphia 76ers, after agreeing to sit down, have a workout, go to dinner, have breakfast, go to lunch, hang out with them. He changed his mind. He said no. You know, everybody has a choice. Kevin Durant had his choices and he made them. His most recent choice was to leave Phoenix. Let's see how it works out in Houston. Yeah, all these champions. Everybody got something to complain about. Robert Kraft. Oh, the past 2 years have been the worst of my tenure here. Oh, cry me a river. Whatever. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. We come back on the other side. It's time to talk some more NBA draft. It's time to take a look at some of these prospects, some of these storylines, some of these superstar players? Are there more superstars? Is there another superstar who might get traded? Is it Jaylen Brown? I don't know. We're going to have a chat with Tomer Azarli on the other side of the break from Clutch Points to take a look at some of the biggest storylines heading into and during the NBA draft. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to move. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're about an hour away from the start of the 2025 NBA draft. There's not a lot of suspense right at the top. Pretty much expected that the Dallas Mavericks will select Cooper Flagg with the number one overall pick. But what happens from there, we have no idea. You know, are we going to have additional trades in the draft? Are we going to have more superstars that are moving around? The draft is taking place over 2 days. Joining us right now is someone very familiar with the draft, the players that are in it, some of the storylines surrounding and outside of the incoming freshmen. Joining us right now from Clutch Points is Tomer Azarli. Tomer, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Fresh off of a finals. I'm ready for the draft. Here we go.
Absolutely. Outside of Cooper Flagg, what are you looking forward to the most tonight?
I'm looking to see which teams make what trades. I think there's been a lot of suspense, like you mentioned, and anticipation for some moves. And I think a lot of it really just depends on who's available when a certain team is you know, up for making a pick. I think everyone has an idea of who they want, but I think there's a lot of smoke and and misdirection on who wants what player, what player might go where, who doesn't want to go to a certain location. So I'm looking forward to getting this draft started, first of all, and then seeing after Cooper Flagg, what do the Spurs do? Do they keep their pick? And then so on and so on.
Well, Tomer, we've seen a lot of trades take place this week. Obviously, we had Bane who moved and Kevin Durant who moved. This is over the course of a week here. What do you think, or who do you think is the next player most likeliest to move? I mean, we hear about Jaylen Brown. I don't think he's going anywhere. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, at this point, it's kind of tough. I mean, look, the Celtics, I think they're getting a ton of offers and a ton of calls from teams around the league regarding Jaylen Brown and Derek White. But to my understanding, they're not looking to deal them. Those are two guys that they value very highly. But at the same time, if there are teams willing to make some godfather offers, I think the Celtics would, have to consider them. I don't want to say it's going to be a lost season because of Jason Tatum's Achilles tear, but look, you are facing some CBA ramifications if you go into the season as you stand. So they made some moves. They moved off from Jrue Holiday and Chris Porzingis. I believe it cut them about $198 million in luxury tax. So that's obviously a big move there. But, I think I really don't know who's next. I don't know if we really know who's available. I don't know if we knew Anthony Simons, for example, was available like that. I think Portland, many people thought, okay, maybe they'll trade off with Jrue Holiday, but they sound like a team that wants to keep Jrue Holiday and build more of a defensive identity around Holiday with Donovan Clingan, Tumani Kamara, Danny Avdija. So I think everyone's looking forward to KD. We saw that happen. Whether Phoenix actually wants to reroute Jalen Green is something to watch. I think, for now, I think they want to keep him and see what they have in him. But not exactly sure what the Devin Booker, Jalen Green fit looks like right now. You also have Bradley Beal, who, clearly should be on the way out. It's just, a matter of he has a large contract, a couple of years left on that deal, and a no trade clause. So he's the guy maybe that could be on the way out given the right situation. So. There's a lot of different guys, a lot of different situations to look at. I guess to answer your question, Bradley Beal would probably be that guy, given how Phoenix's season ended and kind of how they want to pivot away from what they had last year. But again, there's just a lot of guys that I think we don't even know are available or on the block. And so that's something to watch for sure.
So Tomer Azarli is joining us, covers the NBA for Clutch Points. There's been a lot said over the past several days, the past week, about Ace Bailey and not working out or canceling a workout with the Sixers and declining workouts with anybody else. When you take a look at his skill set and his talent, what team would be best suited for him to succeed?
I think a guy with his kind of athleticism and ability, I think you probably need a team that has the ability to play him 32 to 34 minutes a night right away. You know, I'm looking at a team like maybe the Washington Wizards or the Brooklyn Nets or the maybe even the Pelicans, somewhere in that range. I think one of those teams which can give Ace Bailey a runway to play through his mistakes. I think that's what a lot of these guys really need, especially someone like him. Just the ability to play through those, you know, 6-for-20 shooting nights and the 5 turnovers for a couple games and just learn through the mistakes. So those three teams I think I really watch. As far as him not working out, look, I think clearly he and his camp have something in mind and something they're going for here. I'm not sure I necessarily understand it, but clearly they have something they're trying to, you know, either angle for a certain team or maybe have a certain team not pick him. For example, I don't know if the Philadelphia 76ers are a great fit for him, given that they have Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, Paul George, and Jared McCain, who's expected to come back from his injury next year. Not really going to be, you know, a top 4 or 5 option on that team. Maybe a 5th option. And so when you look at that team, probably not the best fit for Ace Bailey. You look at a team like the Pelicans, who might be making some moves, or the Wizards, who don't really have a number one guy here. They'll have Max Kaspi next year. I think that might be a team that could insert Ace Bailey into that 33 minute a night role and be able to just let him play and, you know, learn through his mistakes and all that. So I really think that's kind of what he and his camp are looking for right now, a team that can just let him play, not be limited by this or that or veterans or too much like that. Just be able to go out there, have a runway to play, make mistakes, and learn from those.
Well, so, Mayor, you talk about being able to fit somebody onto a team. We just saw the Oklahoma City Thunder win the championship on Sunday, and because of that trade they made with Paul George going out to the Clippers, they got 2 picks in the first round. They are a stacked team. We all know eventually they're going to have to pay up when it comes down to their stars over the next couple of years. Who do you see potentially being a fit? What type of player would be a fit for this Oklahoma City Thunder team, given that they just won a title?
I mean, look, I think the Thunder are always looking, you know, not just now and this year, but maybe 2, 3, 4 years down the line. Who's the guy that they can develop? You know, Nikola Topic obviously was a really good pick last year, but injured and then wasn't able to play right away, but has the ability to watch from the sidelines, study film, see how NBA players' routines are, what really goes into NBA life. And so he might be entering next year as a rookie, but he's certainly not a rookie by the experience that he has. And so I think when you look at the Thunder, there's a couple guys, I don't know specifics, but there's a couple guys they could look at who, you know, once they have to start paying guys up and, you know, Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren's contracts, you might have to move off of maybe a guy like Alex Caruso or Isaiah Hartenstein. You know, maybe a big that can fill in Isaiah Hartenstein's role, or a wing, you know, once maybe Kayson Wallace is ready to become a starter, how do you kind of replace him on the bench? And who's that bench guy? So I think they're looking for, you know, good team defenders, guys who are high character individuals and guys who can simply fit into a team culture. Like, I think outside of Shea and J-Dub, that was the most complete team we've seen in a while, top to bottom. You know, high-level defenders, high-character guys, able to hit the open shot, 3-level scorers at times. So, like, they just need guys who are complete team defenders and able to, you know, not be a negative. You know, at least put some effort out there defensively, and they'll be okay. And we saw that with the Thunder this year. And I think that's what the Thunder are looking for in the draft, maybe a couple years down the line, not even this year. But how can they develop those guys over time?
So, Mayor Azarli is here with us from Clutch Points. The Thunder, a great model of stability and growth and strength and great ownership. The New York Knicks on the opposite end of the spectrum. We've got a lot of we know they don't have a draft pick. They could thank some of the tampering issues with Mr. Brunson for that one. But we've heard rumors now that Mikal Bridges, who they've acquired, they may move on from him. Mitchell Robinson, surprisingly, stayed healthy in the postseason. They might move on from him. What moves could the New York Knicks make to kind of add to the depth that they lacked this past season?
Yeah, that's a tough one because the Knicks, I think they entered this season once they made the Mikal Bridges and Karl Anthony Towns trade. I think they felt like they were right there. And honestly, they still might be there, I think. But one thing you can't do as a team nowadays is overreact to a single playoff outcome. The Indiana Pacers were clearly a team that just was cohesive at top to bottom, 1-15. They knew what they were doing, and they were going to play their style of basketball no matter what. And so I don't think anyone in the East was going to stop them this year. And they almost took down the Oklahoma City Thunder. You could make a case that Tyrese Halliburton was healthy. The way he started that game, they're NBA champions right now. And so I don't think you overreact to a playoff loss like they did. You know, I think the Pacers did beat them, yes, but I think there's something to continuity in and having a core together and being able to build over time. You know, this is the first year with Karl-Anthony Towns and Mikal Bridges there. I think people forget that. So you can't always expect that to happen overnight over one season. Like, I think if they want to bring them back, I think that's a very fair, decision to make, given that, you know, you're looking at Damian Lillard, Jason Tatum, and Tyrese Halliburton likely missing all of next season with Achilles tear. So I don't really know what the Knicks are missing. I do think they need to bolster their bench a little bit, maybe add some more offensive firepower. But, I also think they had a really good team that you just so happened to run into an even more cohesive team. And, sometimes that happens. But the Knicks, if they stand pat, they should be one of the favorites to win the East right there with the Cleveland Cavaliers this year. I don't think that's really bold to say either.
And so Mayor Azali here with us from Clutch Points. Let's see who the New York Knicks add and bring in as their next head coach. We're going to have an interesting offseason. The NBA offseason never ceases to amaze anybody. You're talking about the Knicks. They didn't even bring in Karl Anthony Towns until, the start of training camp. What are some other stories that we should pay attention to between now and October?
Between now and October, it's a long window. I think you do want to look at what a team like the Cleveland Cavaliers do. Obviously, they won, I believe it was 64 games this year, top of the East. Really, I think everyone was kind of disappointed with the way they lost to the Pacers. So what do they do? How do they kind of want to bolster their roster or maybe retool a little bit around Donovan Mitchell and Evan Mobley? I think we've heard murmurs about guys like Darius Garland being available and maybe even Jared Allen. But again, that's another playoff series that you look at. I think Darius Garland missed two games. Evan Mobley or Jared Allen, one of those two, missed the game as well. So, sometimes those injuries happen. And they're another one of those teams that I don't really know if you want to overreact. I will say I think they could use some more bench help, especially if Ty Jerome ends up leaving. So that's a team to really watch. I know Isaac Okoro is a guy who might have value out there to another team, maybe not the Cleveland Cavaliers. So they're a team to watch. And then really the Boston Celtics, I think, are another one. They're getting a lot of calls for Jaylen Brown and Derek White. I don't ultimately believe they end up moving them. I think they'll keep those two and kind of go into the season and see what they have. But again, you never know. A team might feel like they're on the cusp of contention and feel like they're a Derek White away or a Jaylen Brown away and end up making a big move to kind of see what they can get there. So those are two teams I would watch. I would also say the Sacramento Kings. I think they're also in kind of a weird spot here where they're kind of stuck in mediocrity. Just to be honest, they had to move up from De'Aaron Fox, and they're saying they need a point guard, and they had two point guards in Fox and Halliburton, and now they don't have either of them. So DeMontis Sabonis is now questioning his future, and you're wondering how does DeMar DeRozan fit in there, because he wanted to go there and try to win a championship. Malik Monk is probably a guy who has value for them. And could net a good return back. So that team, I think, is also one to watch because they have a lot of guys you could really move on from and maybe acquire assets and look at A.J. Devonta next year, potentially. So, I think those teams, I think every team kind of has something, but I would say mainly those teams are ones to watch between now and October.
Well, let's see if we get any surprises tonight. Over free agency, maybe we get a surprise at the beginning of the training camp period. The NBA has stepped into the NFL's world where it seems like every week there is something going on. Tomer, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. Please tell everybody where they can follow you and all of your work with Clutch Points.
Oh, thank you for having me. Appreciate it. You can find my work on Twitter, X, or Instagram. My handle is TomerAzaraly. That's my name. And then a lot of my written work you can find on clutchpoints.com under my author profile. But no, thank you guys for having me once again. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, Tomer. We will catch you on down the line. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. It's just a matter of time. Like this NBA draft that we have tonight, man, it got to be better than what we got last year. I don't remember a damn thing from last year's draft. Zachary Risauché. That's what I remember. And after that, it's just like, all right, whatever. And tonight, we're going to wait to see what type of big moves take place. Do we have more trades? And there's a lot to figure out. And of course, whatever the heck is going on with Ace Bailey. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. If you want to call me, you can. The phone lines are open. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. At the top of the hour, of course, I'm going to share with you a new top six list. We're going to take a look at some of the biggest draft busts in NBA history. But when we come back on the other side of the break, I have to tap into the WNBA. Because Caitlin Clark's team, the Indiana Fever, they just got rid of a malcontent. Why was she not happy? What was her issue? What was the problem? We'll talk about it on the other side of the break. It can't be Caitlin Clark, right? Of course it can't be. But right now it's time for a news flash with Rich Ackerman.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to Tomer Arzali from Clutch Points for joining us in the last break to take a look at the NBA draft, which is going to be underway. And this is the wonders of television, the great lies of TV. ESPN has on their ticker that the draft will start in approximately 17 minutes, which puts us at the top of the hour. That's when the show starts. I guess that is when the draft begins. NBA draft isn't as long and as expansive as the NFL draft, even though this one is now stretching into 2 days. Let me tell you something. The first round of this draft is going to be botched. What time you think they're going to be done?
10:45.
Oh, yeah. Look, first round, no thanks. No thanks. I could look at all the results later. I could do other things besides. Well, I mean, I probably will end up watching anyway. But no thanks. To be honest, God bless all these young dudes that are getting ready to get drafted. Congratulations to everybody that's out there getting ready to have a job. They're getting ready to become, well, they're already millionaires. They're getting ready to make more money. Hopefully they do something smart with it so they can make more money. I'm happy for them. But when you get down to brass tacks, if you just take a look at a random NBA draft, the first round is full of a lot of just guys. Dudes that don't make it, guys that ain't good, dudes that don't matter. Botcher, name an NBA draft. Just give me a year. Just randomly. Give me one.
17.
2017 NBA draft. Let's take a look at this draft. You think about the 30 guys who were selected in the first round. Here we go right here, right out the gate. Markelle Fultz, number one overall. Nada. Number two, Lonzo Ball. God bless him. They had to give him somebody else's knees just so he could play basketball. Jason Tatum. There you go. Number three, Josh Jackson. Not even in the NBA right now, selected at number four overall. De'Aaron Fox. Good. Jonathan Isaac. Doesn't really play. Hasn't been healthy for years. Lauri Markkanen. There you go. A hit at number seven. Here we go. Now we're getting into some things. Frank Ntilikina, he's not even in the NBA anymore. He's selected at eight. Dennis Smith Jr. at number nine, not in the NBA anymore. Zach Collins, where the hell he at? Malik Monk, just jacking shots up into obscurity right now. You got Luke Kennard. You got Donovan Mitchell. Okay, that's a good one. Bam Adebayo. There we go. Now we're talking. Justin Jackson at 15. He's not in the NBA. Justin Patton. Who the hell is that? DJ Wilson at 7. Oh, see, now we're getting into, these are like creator player names. No disrespect. DJ Wilson, TJ Leaf. We got John Collins. He's on the Jazz now. Harry Giles, Terrence Ferguson, Jared Allen selected at number 22. Great. OG Anunoby selected at 23. Right after him, Tyler Lydon. Okay. After that, a guy from Latvia. Never heard of him. A guy named Caleb. Kyle Kuzma. Okay. Tony Bradley. Here we go. Derek White, selected by the Spurs. Of course, they selected him at number 29. And at number 30, you got Josh Hart. This was the first round selections. These were your first round selections in 2017. Proving a point that there's this talent all over the draft, and it's such a mix. Like, everybody who gets drafted is not going to be the next big thing. They're not going to be a contributor. They're going to be guys who get drafted tonight and walk up on that stage, and tonight will be the biggest night of their life, and you will not see them again. God bless Markelle Fultz. Where is Markelle Fultz? The Kings doing what? They barely gave him a shot or an opportunity. He's been missing in action for a couple of years. At this point, he got to be 30 years old, only 27. God bless him if he could find it somewhere, anywhere. Good luck to the guys who get drafted tonight. They got the camera stuck on Cooper Flagg. We know exactly where the hell he's going. Anyway, at the top of the hour, I'm going to give you a top six list of draft busts. We're going to take a look at some players that had some big expectations upon being drafted, and they did not live up to them. It stinks. And speaking of not knowing where the hell you're going to go, besides Cooper Flagg, he knows where he's going to go. In WNBA, there's an interesting story going on right now. Tawana Bonner is the third all-time leading scorer in WNBA history. She just signed a contract with the Indiana Fever. It's like, yeah, why the hell not pair her with Caitlin Clark? You need veterans around Caitlin Clark. You need a good situation around Caitlin Clark. Why not bring in one of the more accomplished players that the league has ever seen? Tawana Bonner has won two WNBA championships. She's been a multiple-time All-Star. A good idea to bring her on to the Indiana Fever. Well, that was until she got benched, okay? She has been away from the team since June 12th due to personal reasons. She's missed 5 games and then asked to be released. She wants free. She wants to be gone. And the Indiana Fever actually said, all right, you don't want to be here? We will go ahead and let you go. She reportedly wants to go to play on the Phoenix Mercury, where her fiance, Alyssa Thomas, is on the team. And what world is this? I guess the WNBA is different. I mean, we've had guys who can force a trade by being jerks, but here she is on a WNBA team. She doesn't want to be there anymore. She asks to be released, and they said, okay. And apparently she's now on the waiver wire. I didn't know Boccia, did you know they had a waiver wire in the WNBA?
Is it new? Because I didn't know about it.
Well, now she can go ahead and get picked up. I don't know what the hell is going on. That's kind of odd. Let's listen to Stephanie White on Tawana Bonner.
Yeah, I haven't had a lot of conversations recently. You know, really been focused on the group that we have right here and what we need to do to position ourselves to win.
The typical coach's answer. I'm focused in on the players that are here, not on the players that are not. And of course, there are words about, did she want to play with Caitlin Clark? Was she not happy with Caitlin? Look, the writing is on the wall. I mean, if you are third all-time in scoring in anything, and now all of a sudden you've been told, hey, please do us a favor, come off the bench. We've heard this story before. Player X is not happy with their role. Player X says, I don't want to be here. They act like a jerk. The team doesn't want to deal with them, and so they go ahead and they move on. This isn't necessarily a Rafael Devers situation. But damn, she started the first 3 games, has come off the bench for the last 6. 7 points, 4 rebounds in 9 games with the team. Now that's a whole lot of nothing to join the squad and just decide that you don't want to be there anymore. And good luck to her. And I guess I will say, yeah, more importantly, good luck to the Indiana Fever. They get to move forward with someone who actually wants to be there and be a part of the team. I guess you sign up for a role. What did they promised her a starting spot? I mean, this is professional sports. What are you promised? Nothing. The closest thing you get to a promise is whatever the hell they are deciding to pay you, whatever you negotiated. Everything outside of that is pretty much a moot point. Go ahead and ask Rafael Devers. Ain't nothing guaranteed except for his $313 million that he is now willing to play the field for now that he's in San Francisco. Hey, what a world. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, the NBA draft, well, they should be teasing at that point the fact that Cooper Flagg will be selected at number one overall. But here, it's going to be time for a new top six list. I don't think Cooper Flagg will be on this one in the near future. We're going to take a look at some of the biggest names who've been drafted in the NBA that did not work out. Every Wednesday, I bring you a new top six list. And today, we're going to take a look at the top six biggest draft busts in NBA history. I'm looking forward to this one. Oh, yeah. Who's number one? Who's the biggest bust in NBA history? I'm going to tell you who it is on the other side of the break. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.